Well, thanks very much. I'm going to turn our attention to what I'm going to call, for public consumption, clot-busting treatments in the treatment of DVT. And I want to relate this to our role as the and our goals as a coalition, as a public awareness organization, and the goals of the Vascular Disease Foundation as a public awareness organization. It's our role to figure out what are the near future changes in DVT treatment care that are going to happen and start those educational efforts now. So we need to identify needs and make sure that we prepare the groundwork so that when certain treatments are finally validated in large major studies, we can go ahead and make sure that we can get them implemented throughout the system. So as deep vein thrombosis is a formation of a blood clot in a deep leg vein, and the main complication immediately is that of pulmonary embolism. Blood thinners, anticoagulants, are very good at preventing pulmonary embolism. They're absolutely essential, and they're the reason why patients need to be identified early and to know the symptoms of these disorders. But the downside of blood thinners is that they're not able to entirely remove the clot that's already in the vein. And that clot sits there and does permanent damage to the vein with significant consequences for patients. I think that when patients come in to be treated for DVT, they're told they have a blood clot. They're told, now we've got you on a medication, it's all going to be all right. What they are generally not told is that it's probably going to take several weeks and sometimes months to get significant symptomatic improvement, sometimes faster, and that in a third of patients, quality of life is really not going to return to where it was before, even over a period of, for example, 4 months, as Dr. Khan has shown us in her work. And this picture on the left is not a patient presenting with DVT, but a patient who's being discharged, actually, with their DVT. And again, it's directly related to the presence of a blood clot, this big sort of toothpaste thing here, blocking the vein. They also aren't told typically that their long-term quality of life is at significant risk, even if they do what they're told. They're not told that the post-thrombotic syndrome can cause chronic leg pain, fatigue, skin changes, can progress to venous ulcers, which are very disabling. This is a common problem that occurs in anywhere from 25 to 50% of patients. It's lifelong, and we really don't have consistently effective treatments for them. It's important for them to know about this because there are evidence-based methods to prevent this. For example, the use of elastic compression stockings that are not widely used, even though there is fairly good data to support them. Again, clot in the vein is the cause of this. And on the left is sort of a "this is your vein on clot" kind of picture here, with you can see the clot blocking the vein. You don't really see a single tubular vein. You can see here, this should be an uninterrupted tubular black structure. They're filled with x-ray dye, and instead what you see is flow into all these collateral veins here. And again, that's due to damage of the valves and blockage of blood flow. And so that's led over the years to this concept of the open vein hypothesis. Can immediate clot removal speed the relief of symptoms, preserve the venous valves, and prevent the post-thrombotic syndrome? And there have been a variety of approaches that have been used to try and achieve that goal. Administration of thrombolytic drugs or clot-busting drugs through a peripheral vein, open surgery to remove the clot, and actually the studies I cite here all have suggested that there is a significant benefit in terms of preventing post-thrombotic syndrome if you remove clot. Now, those methods proved to be a little bit unwieldy for use in a large population. They were associated with bleeding complications in particular, but nevertheless, the concept that clot removal results in better long-term outcomes seems to be supported by the available evidence. The newest way that we do this now is by the direct administration of the clot-busting drug into the clot using a catheter placed within the clot. The idea being that then we can use a lower dose and make it a much safer treatment and a faster treatment. And this is an example of a clot-filled iliac vein, the vein in the pelvis, and then after we've used these clot-busting drugs targeted to the clot, you can see the vein is now wide open, and you would anticipate that this patient on the right would have a better prognosis than someone that didn't have their vein treated that way. Many physicians don't know that there are studies. They're not large-scale randomized trials, unfortunately, but there are some studies that do suggest that quality of life is improved in the long run. Patients are more likely to be symptom-free and to have a functional vein if they, in addition to their blood thinners, receive catheter-directed thrombolytic therapy up front. The American College of Chest Physicians recently, in evaluating the available evidence, came to the conclusion that the preponderance of the evidence currently, which is not perfect evidence by any stretch, seems to suggest that, again, there is a benefit here. And so for the first time in 2008, we actually have some amount of concordance that the patients most likely to benefit, specifically acute iliofemoral DVT, clot extending to the groin and above, should be treated in this fashion while we're still waiting for the large-scale randomized trial evidence. I think the reason why the guidelines changed, probably it doesn't really reflect any major large-scale studies done between the last guidelines in 2004 and these, but perhaps the perception that some of these newer ways to deliver the drug into the clot are much faster because we've used sort of innovations in device technology to deliver the drug into the clot in a better way and also get better dispersion of the drug in the clot, enabling us to perform these procedures in a single procedure session in many cases, whereas before we would have to infuse the drugs over a two-day period. The patient would be watched in the intensive care unit. It was much more of a production. This is an example of a closed, clotted iliac vein, and this is after about 1 hour worth of treatment with clot-busting drugs and devices. So you can see that patient, I would think, is likely to have a better prognosis. Now, we haven't proven that yet. Again, I think that the ATTRACT trial, which is a multi-center national randomized trial, which will compare the use of pharmacomechanical thrombolysis with standard therapy versus standard therapy alone for the treatment of patients with proximal DVT, I think this study is sorely needed and really represents, it really shows the vision of the NHLBI, I think, in one, recognizing that it's not just pulmonary embolism, but that the post-thrombotic syndrome causes significant disability to patients worldwide, and also that clot-busting treatments are likely to be a big part of the solution in the near future. We'll be looking at post-thrombotic syndrome, quality of life, symptom relief, safety, of course, and also doing a cost-effectiveness analysis to determine whether this should really change the whole way we treat DVT. And enrollment will be beginning in the fourth quarter of 2008. I'm proud to say that I'll be working with Dr. Sam Goldhaber in leading the study. And we've got the support of a number of organizations, some of whom are coalition members here. The Society of Interventional Radiology Foundation, American Venous Forum, American College of Phlebology have endorsed the study. And the investigator network consists of emergency room physicians, surgeons, internists, and radiologists. So my hope is that with broad community support, we can succeed. It's also important to know that these techniques can also be used in patients that have massive pulmonary embolism to save life. Here is an example of a thrombus or a clot in the right pulmonary artery here and in its branches. And then after using pharmacomechanical therapy, you can see that clot is no longer present in the vein and is reduced significantly in these branch veins here. That can be life-saving. The use of this is still being worked out in terms of exactly at what time we should use these techniques, but I think the general consensus is earlier may turn out to be better. So is this really a revolution? That's a very ambitious term we use. I put this in lowercase here because I think that at this point, compared to 5 years ago, a mini revolution has taken place. We now have the leadership in DVT, the NIH, and many physicians knowing that post-thrombotic syndrome prevention is an important goal of treatment. We have faster, safer, and more convenient methods of doing this, and that they're available actually in the community. And right now we've got practice guidelines that are, for the moment, concordant in favor of using this in the patients most likely to benefit pending further studies. In terms of the big revolution, my hope is that if the ATTRACT trial is proved to be positive, I think that the 50-year-old paradigm that says, let's prevent pulmonary embolism with blood thinners, let's prevent clot extension, and prevent the next event will be modified to say, let's also remove the clot, open the vein, and prevent the post-thrombotic syndrome. And then finally, I think that, you know, what I take away from the Surgeon General's call to action is that as a community, physicians, other healthcare providers, patients, we need to be active about DVT in general. Patients can educate themselves. Hopefully in the year 2013, Dr. Goldhaber alluded to risk factor modification, but beyond that, hopefully patients will ask about DVT prevention when they come into the hospital or when they have other risk factors. They'll receive hospital-mandated DVT prophylaxis. They'll know the symptoms of a leg attack or a unilateral DVT, pain and swelling, and they'll seek immediate care. They'll know about the post-thrombotic syndrome and use compression therapy or other proven therapies to prevent it, and we'll know exactly how we should be using clot-busting drugs and devices, and they'll be routinely considered in how you manage patients. And most importantly, I think continuing education is the thing that's going to be needed to translate all these advances into clinical practice improvements. And so I hope that, you know, our coalition members will support these efforts and the Venous Disease Coalition. Thanks.